Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan, and I'm here today with some comedy for you. We have an hour full of comedy, and this time it's about comedy teams. Two of the most popular coming up today, so I know you're going to want to stay tuned, as they used to say in radio, and are now saying in podcasting. At least I'm saying it. We're going to start off with Abbott and Costello. This is Lou's engagement to Judy Canova, and this dates from 1944. And following this, we'll have an episode of Martin and Lewis with our guest, Boris Karloff.
The Abbott and Costello program, brought to you by Camels, the cigarette that's first in the service. Camels stay fresh because they're packed to go around the world. Listen to the music of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes. Tonight's guest, one of radio's favorite comedians, Judy Canova, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey,
Abbott! Oh, there you are, Costello.
Here it is, the first program of the new year, and you're late.
Oh, so I'm late?
Yeah.
Well, it's all on account of Leap Year, Abbott. I was passing the corner on Hollywood and Vine, and 30 women jumped on me.
30 women at Hollywood?
30.
At Hollywood and Vine?
Hollywood and Vine.
That's where the wolves hang out.
This year, it's Wolverines.
Oh, stop.
Okay. Boy, you should see these women fight over me, Abbott. One of them grabbed my left arm, another grabbed my right arm, then one grabbed my other leg, then one grabbed the other leg, one grabbed my ears, my nose, my hair.
Wait a minute. But why should that make you late?
Well, I had to go to Lockheed to get reassembled.
Well, it's leap year, and you've got to expect those things.
Yeah, but I wasn't even safe having at Lockheed. As soon as I walked in, a dame threw her arms around me and kissed me 12 times before I could even kiss her once.
She kissed you 12 times to your once?
Yeah, she was a riveter.
Hey, a riveter kissed you? I don't believe it.
Oh, you don't.
Now, Costello, don't run down leap year. Will you please, Lou?
Listen. Maybe I can read it right.
Lou, will you listen to Buddy? Don't run down leap year.
This Who's is running down?
This is an excellent opportunity for some nice girl to propose to you. And then you can settle down and get married.
Wait a minute, Abbott. Who wants to get married? I don't want no mother-in-law.
What's wrong with a mother-in-law? Do you know what a mother-in-law is?
Sure. A mother-in-law is the Gestapo with bloomers.
But, Costello, marriage is wonderful. Wouldn't you like to have people throw rice at you?
No, when my brother got married, they threw rice at him. It's too messy.
Rice isn't messy.
It is when it's mixed with chop suey.
You ain't gonna get it.
All right, talk sense, please. Look, Lou, weddings are beautiful, Costello. Don't you like the old-fashioned unions?
No, they itch me all over.
Oh. Will you cut that out? Your underwear doesn't fit our conversation.
My underwear will fit anything, brother.
All right, never mind that, Costello. I still say that a wife is your best friend.
Oh, no, your mother is your best friend. And I think it's a shame when they have just one holiday for your mother and two for your father.
Two holidays for your father? What are they?
Father's Day and Puppy's Day.
Costello, you're talking like that because you haven't even got a girl.
Oh, yes, I have, Abbott. I got a girl. I got a big book full of girls' names, all in alphabetical order.
And what's the first name in the book?
Zelda.
Zelda.
Hello, fellows.
Hey, it's Ken Niles. Hello, Ken.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. I just came from the blood bank.
You just came from the blood bank? Look, Niles, they want plasma, not asthma.
Now, you stop that, Costello.
That Niles is so anemic that a mosquito bit him and lost blood on the deal.
Oh, shut up. Ken, I'm glad you dropped in. Costello and I have been had quite a discussion here. He's been running down marriage.
Running down marriage? Why, Costello, marriage is wonderful. Look at Abbott and me.
Yes, Costello, Ken and I are married.
Oh, congratulations. I hope you two guys will be very happy.
Ah!
How do you like that, Freddy? Those two guys are married.
No, no.
I didn't think it was legal.
Now, wait a minute. I don't mean it that way. Don't.
Hey, two men
just
married.
Just a minute, please. Now, don't be stupid.
I know somebody married a man.
Look, just who?
My sister.
Yeah, your sister. All right, never mind. Look, let's... Come here, Lou. Let's take Ken Niles. Let's take Ken Niles and his wife.
Came from the field, didn't
he? Look, just a minute, will you? Let's take Ken Niles and his wife.
Oh, sure, we'll take him. We'll take him.
Now, there's a happy married couple.
That's right, Bud. Why, I can't stand to be away from my wife for a second. When I leave the house in the morning, she goes with me. I take her to the office, to the golf club. Even when I go out with the boys, she goes with me.
Now, did you hear that, Costello? Niles takes his wife every place he goes.
Sure. Did you ever get a load of the puss of that dame? He'd rather take her with him than kiss her goodbye.
Oh.
Oh, I insulted you!
I heard that remark. Oh, I heard that remark, short and dumpy. You should talk about anybody's appearance. You with your double chin.
I got no double chin. It's my necktie.
Then your necktie needs a shave.
Oh, darling, you're so funny. You kill me.
Oh, no, no, dear. You're funnier than I am. You kill me.
No, honey, you kill me.
Oh, no, you kill me.
If there's anybody out there with a hunting license, what are you waiting for?
I want you to stop that, Costello. Come here. You understand that? I want you to stop it. Mr. and Mrs. Niles are a wonderful example of marriage.
Yes,
look at Ken standing there holding her hand.
If he ever lets go, she'll beat his brains out.
That's not true, Costello. Our marriage has been perfect. Well, I'll never forget our wedding day. Oh, I look so lovely in my bridal veil.
You'd even look better in a bridal.
Don't listen to him, Mrs. Niles. Please, pay no attention to him. Go ahead, tell us more about your wedding day.
Oh, it was thrilling. You know, Kenneth and I had a runaway marriage.
Yeah, he ran away and you ran after him.
I did not. I don't chase men. They chase me. Why, New Year's Day, I had dozens of men chasing after me.
I know. You played with Washington in a Rose Bowl game.
Why, I know nothing about Washington.
Not even George?
Oh, well, yes, I was with him at Valley Forge. Oh, you got that!
Now, look what you did, Costello.
Well, look what I did. You started the whole thing, Abbott, trying to talk me into getting married. You're not going to get me tied with any dame.
Hello. Costello speaking.
Mr. Costello, let me be the first to congratulate you on your decision about women. Women are nothing but trouble. I know. I've been married. I say down with women.
Gee, thanks for backing me up, friend. I wish I could do some favor for you.
You can. Make them let me out of here. I'm all right, I tell you. I'm all right.
You see, Costello, that proves what I said. Marriage is a wonderful institution.
Oh, yeah? Look at the institution he's in.
Get out of here.
Hitting the beach with the first assault troops are the amphibian engineers, men trained to find and remove deadly mines under the sand. They've got what it takes, these seagoing engineers. And so has their cigarette, Camels. First with men in all the services, according to actual sales records. Both at home and overseas, more people want Camel cigarettes. And that's why your store may be sold out from time to time. But remember, Camels are worth asking for again. They always have more flavor, the result of expert blending of costlier tobaccos. And Camel cigarettes keep their flavor, too. They stay fresh, cool smoking, and slow burning, because they're packed to go around the world.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Camel cigarettes. Camel's tobacco standard is the same for soldier, for civilian, anywhere in the world. The orchestra and just one of those things.
telling you, Abbott, for the last time. The last time, I don't want to get married.
But, Costello, you're being silly. Marriage is great. And there's nothing like having a place to come home to. Why, even the president, when he came home from Cairo, arrived at the gates of the White House and whistled. And who came out?
Fowler. He's always home.
Look, let's talk sense.
Now, anyway, Abbott, I'm sick and tired of talking sense. All year I get talk sense. If I get married, I'd have to give up my career. You know, I'm a beachcomber at the Union Station.
A beachcomber in a railroad station?
Sure, I stand there and watch the waves come in. Oh.
Watch the waves come in. That's about the only way you could get a girl.
Is that so? You may not know it, Abbott, but Cary Grant and I go 50-50 on girls.
Really?
Of course. He gets them under 50 and I get all those over.
Come in. Oh, it's Connie Haynes. Hello, Connie.
Hello, Mr. Abbott. Hello, my fat little sugar man. Mr. Costello.
Yeah?
This being leap year, I want to propose to you. I want to marry you before some beautiful actress gets you.
Gee, Connie, do you think that I'm handsome?
No, but they're running out of the handsome ones, and they'll be taking them from your class next.
Connie, are you really in love with Costello?
Yes, I am. Mr. Costello.
Yes?
Last night I dreamed that you took me to dinner.
Dream on, girl.
Then I dreamed that you took me to the Trocadero for dancing.
Dream on, kid.
And then I dreamed that you bought me the most beautiful mink coat.
Wake up! Wake up! Costello, what's wrong with you? Here a lovely girl throws herself at you and you don't appreciate it.
Yes, I don't drink, I don't stay out late, I don't pet. I'm a nice girl.
Well, I don't drink, I don't stay out late, and I don't pet.
Gee, you're a nice girl, too.
Sure.
Now you see what you did, Costello? You just don't know how to handle women. Listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll coach you. Let's suppose I'm the man and you're the woman.
Abbott, I can't be a woman.
Why not?
It's too late. After all.
Why do you mean it's too late?
I've been shaving since yesterday.
Oh, well.
Start of Tuesday, I go out with girls myself.
All right, look, we'll just make believe. Look, make believe you're the woman and I'm coming to your house to call on you. Now, are you ready?
No, wait a minute. What kind of a woman am I, a blonde or a brunette?
Look, I don't care if you're a blonde or a brunette. I don't even care if you're bald-headed.
Oh, you men are all alike.
Come in. Now, will you please get with it? Now, remember, you're the girl, and I'm coming to call on you.
Come
now,
on,
here
on.
I come.
I'm waiting.
Will you answer the door? Will you answer the door?
Oh, I'm in the kitchen talking to the Iceman.
Forget the Iceman.
Oh, but he's a very cute Iceman.
I said drop the Iceman.
Sorry, Sam.
No, come here. We'll try it once more. Now, come on. Get with it. Now, I knock on your door. Why don't you answer the door?
I'm playing hard to get.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm getting no place with you. Come on.
You're not even half trying. Look, Abbott, let's try it the other way. You be the woman.
Oh, I couldn't be a woman.
Why not? You've been getting by as a man for years.
All right, I'll be the woman. Now, go ahead. Come up to my door and knock.
Hiya, babe. Here I am, kid. Hi.
Why didn't you knock?
I never knock. I'm a sailor.
Oh, I... darling.
Raise your voice, kid.
I say... Oh, darling, I love you. Hold me in your arms.
You ain't kidding, are you?
Please, press me. Press me.
I'm a sailor, not a tailor. Budweena. What is that beautiful perfume that smells so nice?
Oh, that is right in Paris. You smell pretty, too. What odor is that?
That's three nights on a troop train.
Come here, Costello. Have you an idiot in your family?
No. Do you want to be adopted?
Oh, shut up. I'm trying to teach you something. How to get along with girls, and you don't appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
You're just plain stupid.
I know I'm stupid, but I didn't have a chance that the other kids had, Abbott. I had to leave school in the third grade to support my gray-haired old mother.
How old were you?
35.
35! Look, will you keep quiet? Lou, come here.
What I'm trying to tell you about love is very, very simple. Look, what I'm trying to explain is very simple. All nature expresses it. Here, come here. Here, look out that window.
Which one?
See those beautiful squirrels near that tree? You see them there, Lou?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you do see them?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's wonderful.
Now I can see them so plain.
No. Notice how they approach each other. They get closer and closer. Look, they're rubbing noses. See that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all there is to it.
That's all? Well, goodbye, Abbott. See you later.
Where are you going? To propose to a girl?
No, to catch a squirrel.
Ah, get out of here.
Connie Haynes sings the lovely new ballad, How Sweet You Are.
How sweet you are, how sweet you are. How dear your tenderly smiling face. Through days all bitter and gray and grim.
Cigarettes that won't go flat no matter how many you smoke? Well, just test out a pack or two of Camels in your T-zone. Our way of saying, let your taste and your throat decide. Your taste will tell you all about more flavor, the result of expert blending of costlier tobaccos. And it's Camel cigarettes' extra flavor that helps them to hold up pack after pack. Your throat will give you the last word on Camel's smooth extra mildness, too. And remember, Camel cigarettes stay fresh. Cool smoking and slow burning because they're packed to go around the world.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Camel cigarettes. They're first in the service. They've got what it takes.
Hey, Costello. Somebody's at the door.
Come in.
I'd like to talk to Lou Costello.
That's me.
I've come here to talk to you about marriage.
Sorry. You don't appeal to me. Quiet. Let me handle this, Lou. What's the trouble, neighbor?
Well, sir, it's this-a-way. Mr. Costello, on your way to the broadcast today, did you tip your hat to a girl on the street?
Yes, sir. She said hello to me, so I tipped my hat.
Well, that was my daughter, so I'm here to arrange for the wedding.
What wedding? I tipped my hat, that's all, my friend.
You and my daughter, sir. She is aiming to get married.
Oh, yeah? Well, I ain't aiming to marry her.
I got a shotgun here.
Your aim is better than mine.
Just a minute, mister. Tipping your hat to a lady is hardly a proposal of marriage.
That's the law where I come from. Skunk Hollow.
Oh, so you come from Skunk Hollow.
Yes, sir. I live right in the hollow. Nice to have a place named after you.
Yeah.
I ain't wasting any more time. Come in here, gal. Gentlemen, this here's my daughter, Judy Canova.
That's the man, Pappy. The little fat one. Come into my arms, little fat man. I love you.
Get away from me. Get out of here.
Oh, now. Tell me you love me. Speak to me. Speak to me.
I can't, kid. You're sitting on my chest. Let me up. Put it.
Oh, come on into my arms. Oh, gee, this is wonderful. I wish I had this much butter.
I don't know. You got the points.
You sure ain't got any.
I have now.
Come on, come on. Come on here now. Let's run off and get married.
Oh, no, no. You mean you want me to fly away with you?
Fly? With your fuselage, you couldn't get off the runway.
Hey, you should talk. Get a load of those pigtails. You look like a P-38 with teeth.
Costello, that's no way to talk to Judy Canoer. Now, she's a very lovely girl.
Yep, and I'll make you a perfect wife. I can cook, I can sew, and right now I'm knitting a glove.
Why only one glove? What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to put it on the cow to keep the milk warm.
Hey, Abbott, get this dizzy dame away from me, will you?
Oh, stop complaining. Beauty is only skin deep. Take away the skin and what have you got?
I don't know, but I'd hate to have it for a blind date.
See here, Judy, I don't understand why you're chasing after Costello. Don't you have a boyfriend in Skunk Hollow?
Oh, sure. I got lots of boyfriends back home. As a matter of fact, they selected me as their favorite pin-up girl.
Really?
Yep. If Pappy hadn't chased the dogs away from that tree, I'd have been pinned up there yet. Oh, look at him. Oh, Mr. Costello, won't you marry me?
Why should I? My uncle married my aunt, and my father married my mother.
Yeah?
So why should I marry a total stranger?
Well, now, listen here. I don't care what you say. You are going to marry me. Now, I even got the ring.
Now, where'd you get it?
Some millionaire passed through Skunk Hollow last week and gave it to me. City fella by the name of Woolworth.
Gee, that's a pretty emerald ring.
Oh, that ain't no emerald. An emerald's green.
Wait till you wear it a while.
Look, Lou, this marriage isn't such a bad idea. Don't you want to call some girl Mrs. Costello?
No, that's my mother's name.
I've heard enough of this talk. Judy, you going to stand there and let this fat boy insult you? Show them how tough you are.
All right, Pa. Give me the shotgun.
Judy, you just shot off six of your toes.
Oh, that's all right. I got eight more left.
I wouldn't marry a girl like you. You don't even wear shoes.
Shucks, I never wear shoes. I just paint my feet brown and lace up my toes. Come on, Costello, get out into that car now. We're heading for the preacher's. You're going to be my husband.
I'm going to be your what?
You heard her, Costello. You know what a husband is.
Yes, sir. A husband is what's left of a sweetheart after the nerve has been killed.
Now, listen here. I tell you, I'm tired of all this here talking. Costello, you see this gun? Mm-hmm. It shoots bullets 9 miles and throws rocks the rest of the way. Get moving, you hear me?
Hey, that gun barrel is cold. Oh, wrong way. Keep it off my neck, please. Hey, Abbott, do something.
Will you shut up?
Get it backwards.
You're going to love being married. Now, let's go.
Hey, Abbott, now, come on. You got to get me out of this now, will you? I don't want to live on no farm.
Yeah, but living at Rancho Canova is wonderful. Why, you can help me round up the cows.
How can you round up cows with those bow legs?
What have they got to do with it?
You must have a terrible time getting your calves together.
What's the matter with my calves?
Quit arguing, Costello. Get in the car. Come on, open the door.
Hey, your door fell off.
Doggone it, I knew that chewing gum wouldn't hold.
Some car.
Don't worry, this car will get us there.
Yeah, if the wind is with us, we'll make good time.
Have you got enough fuel to get us to the preacher's, Judy?
Why, sure. This car burns very little coal.
You'd be better off if you burnt soft coal, kid.
Here we go. Everybody fasten your safety belt. Costello, my lover, we're going to be happy, ain't we? I said we're going to be happy, ain't we? Costello, I've been talking to you for the last 10 miles. All you do is keep shaking your head from side to side.
I can't help it. I got my nose caught in the windshield wiper.
There's the preacher's house, Judy. Stop the car. Put on your brakes.
Brakes? What brakes?
What brakes?
What brakes?
Brakes are the things that stop the car.
Oh, Pappy, put your foot out.
Okay, Pappy. Get back in the car, Stumpy. I read that wrong, too.
So, let's go, Costello. A few minutes more, and you'll be a happy married man.
Yeah, but you gotta help me. I'm too young to get married. I'm just a baby. I still suck my thumb.
You suck your thumb?
Yeah, I can't reach my big toe anymore.
Well, Judy gal, I told you I'd get your husband, didn't I?
Sure did, Pappy. Too bad poor old Grandpa can't be here to see it.
What happened to your Grandpa?
He dropped dead.
How do you know he's dead? Did you put a mirror in front of his face?
Yep, that's why he dropped dead.
All right, folks. Let's go inside and get this over with.
Oh, this is going to make me the happiest girl in the South.
Are you sure you're from the South? I thought Southern people had long drawls.
Oh, I took mine off and made my stockings look lumpy. Honey lamb, this won't take but a minute. It ain't gonna hurt a bit. Just step right up in front of that preacher, say I do, and we'll be off on our honeymoon.
Now, wait a minute. Now, listen, Judy. Before we get married, I want you to do a favor for me.
What's that, lover?
I hate to ask you, but give me a kiss.
Why, sure. Here.
That's it. That's all. I knew it. The marriage is off.
The marriage is off just because I kissed you?
Certainly. If you'd kiss me, you'd kiss anybody.
Each of the four Camel radio shows honors a Yank of the Week, sends 300,000 Camel cigarettes overseas, a total of more than 1 million Camels sent free each week. In this country, the traveling Camel caravans have thanked audiences of more than 3.5 million Yanks with free shows and free Camels. Camel broadcasts to go out to the United States 4 times a week, a shortwave to our men overseas and to South America. Listen tomorrow to Gary Moore and Jimmy Durante. Saturday to Bob Hawke in thanks to the Yanks. Monday to Blondie. And next Thursday to Abbott and Costello with their guest, Mr. Peter Lorre. And now, here's Abbott and Costello with a final word.
Thanks, Ken. Well, Costello, that's about all we have time for tonight. And by the way, next week our guest will be Peter Lorre.
Well, there's one thing I want to tell you right now.
What's that?
I'm not going to marry him.
Talk sense. Do you realize that Peter Lorre runs around with people like Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Wolfman? You never came face to face with a monster, did you?
Oh, no. You've never been out to my ration board.
Oh, get out of here. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Be sure to tune in again next week for another great Abbott and Costello show. Judy Canova appeared through the courtesy of the makers of Colgate Tooth Powder. And remember, Camel cigarettes are packed to go around the world. Camels stay fresh and slow burning because they're packed to go around the world. This is Ken Niles wishing you all a very pleasant good night from Hollywood.
More pipes smoke Prince Albert than any other tobacco in the whole world. Mister, find out for yourself about PA, the tobacco that stands for Pipe Appeal. Get a big red 2-ounce package of Prince Albert. It holds around 50 rich-tasting, sweet-smoking pipefuls. Yes, sir, and every one is no-bite treated to give you cool, tongue-happy smoking comfort. Prince Albert's crimp cut, too, to pack and burn and draw just right. More pipes smoke Prince Albert. It's the National Joy Smoke.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Bud Abbott and Lou Costello from 1944. Now we're heading on up to 1952 for an episode of the Martin and Lewis Show. This one stars Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, of course, but their guest star is Boris Karloff. So from 4:18 to 52, the Martin and Lewis Show.
Transcribed.
Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, we present the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show.
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are brought to you by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor, by Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too, and by Chesterfield. Ask your dealer for Chesterfield, the only cigarette that names all its ingredients. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Hi, folks. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it's HR for the old Martin and Lewis troupe, and all the familiar hands stand ready to embark on another mission across the NBC airwaves. So, Rich, let's go.
Must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you blew the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, I bet you showed the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. Now, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. Bet you made the cutest bow. Ah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Baby, look at you now. Baby, look at you now.
Oh, give
hey,
me
Dean, hey, Dean! Hey, Dean! Hey, Dean, I got a question, and I'm really puzzled.
Well, what's up, Jerry? What's puzzling you?
Well, you know that new singer, Johnny Ray?
Yeah?
Well, I can't figure it out. All of a sudden, this guy's a big star. He sells 4 million records, radio wants him, television wants him. The girls go crazy for him, and the money is coming in hand over fist. Well, all I want to know is one thing.
What's that?
What the heck's he crying about?
Jerry, Johnny Ray doesn't always cry. He just cries when he sings.
Oh, I get it. He don't sing so good.
Oh, don't talk crazy, Jerry. Johnny Ray sings very good.
Oh, then you should be crying.
Now, look, Jerry, Johnny Ray doesn't bother me any more than Jack Benny bothers you.
Good heavens. I didn't think you felt that miserable.
You don't mind, Jerry. If you don't mind, I'd just as soon drop the whole subject.
Sure, Dean. But first, I gotta tell you, you don't have to worry about those other singers, because in my book, you're the greatest of them all, buddy. And I mean it. You got something that's really different. It sets you apart from all the rest. No kidding. You got something that's really terrific.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Jerry. Tell me, what do I have that's so wonderful?
Me?
You listen here, Jer, I really do think you ought to start acting your age. You must make a terrible impression on girls.
Oh, no, I don't, Dean. In fact, I always know the right thing to do. Last night, I took a girl to a dance, and I even wired her some flowers.
Sounds wonderful. Did you dance every dance?
Oh, we couldn't. The flowers are wired to her legs.
Well, I give up. I'm through arguing with you. Besides, it's time we introduce our first guest this evening. Tell me, do you know who it's going to be?
Well, that great food expert, Conrad Van Crunch, was supposed to visit us again, but we just heard that he won't be here.
Well, and we don't seem to have a guest, Jer, unless you'd like to take Van Crunch's place.
Deanie boy, I think that would be splendid Cardinal Sterling and definitely Peachy Keen.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, it becomes my pleasure to welcome back that international gourmet and author of the best-selling book, Through Darkest America with Knife and Fork. Herr Conrad von Crunch, how are you? How are you today, sir?
Ach, the whole stomach is upset. I feel all nervous, like I have butterflies in my stomach.
Well, that's too bad. What'd you have for dinner?
Butterflies.
Herr von Crunch, you've been all over the world. tell me, in your travels, did you have any strange dining experiences?
Well, once when I was visiting Baghdad, I stopped in a little place. It was a sidewalk cafe.
A sidewalk cafe. And what was their specialty?
French fried sidewalks.
Now, that's ridiculous. How can anyone eat a sidewalk?
Don't be silly. It's no different than eating a driveway.
Well, tell me, what else was on the menu?
They served me some soup. But I found something in it.
Was it a hare, Herr von Grunch?
No, it was... What did you say?
I asked, was it a hare, Herr von Grunch?
No, it was a noodle, Mr. Martin.
Where'd you dig up the noodle?
The same place you dug up the hair, Selma.
Herr von Kranz, our time is running out, but before you go on, what was the strangest meal you ever ate?
The strangest meal I ever ate was in the wilds of Africa. I was dining with a Ubangi chief, and he served me a family dinner.
What did the family dinner consist of?
A father, a mother, and two little children.
Now, that was incredible.
No, that was Africa.
Well, as Herr von Kranz fades into oblivion, there emerges before our eyes the handsome figure of Jimmy Wallington.
Well, thank you, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen, every day you hear more and more about an incredibly fast way to relieve the pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. It's Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician, and in this way discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin in handy boxes of 12 and 30. Economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100. Ask for Anacin at any drug counter.
No one, not even the professionals, can explain what makes a hit song. But when a tune does become a smash, it's usually just about unanimous. Here's a little ditty that's had the jukeboxes humming for quite a spell now. It's all about the little white cloud that sat right down and cried.
I went strolling down by the river, feeling very sad inside, when all at once I saw in the sky the little white cloud that cried. He told me he was very lonesome, no one cared if he lived or died, and said sometimes the thunder and lightning would make all the little clouds hide. He said, have faith in all kinds of weather, for the sun will always shine. Do your best and always remember the dark clouds pass with time. He asked me if I'd tell all the world just how hard all little clouds try. That's why I think I'll always remember the little white cloud that cries. She said, have faith in all kinds of weather, for the sun will always shine. Do your best and always remember the dark clouds pass with time. He asked me if I'd tell all the world just how hard all little clouds try. That's why I think I'd always remember the little white cloud that sat right down and cried.
Thank you very much. Very kind. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now, it's time to get off that little white cloud and get down to earth with Jimmy Wallington.
Thanks, Dean. And now here's something of interest to everybody.
For breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Dentine tastes so good.
Dentine freshens your breath.
Dentine helps keep your teeth sparkling clean and white.
Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Before you go out and always after eating, drinking, smoking, refresh your breath with Dentine. You'll love Dentine chewing gum, for Dentine has a wonderful tingling, nippy flavor that lingers on and on. It's delicious. And remember, Dentine helps keep your teeth white, too. Keep Dentine handy. You'll enjoy refreshing your breath when you chew Dentine. So for breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Ladies and gentlemen, it now becomes my privilege to introduce our guest of the evening. He's a gentleman we've enjoyed in many stage plays, on the radio, and in countless motion pictures. So here he is, a very fine actor and the world's greatest connoisseur of chills and thrills, the one and only Mr. Boris Karloff, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Dean, for that very kind introduction.
Well, Boris, I meant every word of it.
Well, this is very reassuring to me. You see, in spite of the fiendish parts that I play in pictures, I'm really a kind and mild-mannered man. In fact, I'm as soft-hearted and gentle a man as you could ever meet. Don't I appear that way? Dean, why don't you answer?
I can't. You're joking me.
I'm so sorry, Dean. Force of habit, you know.
Hey, Dean, I just had a... All right, buddy, it's 2 miles to the cemetery.
Cemetery? I'm not dead.
You're not dead?
No, but I'm enormously interested in people who are.
You know something? For a minute, I thought you was Boris Karloff, and I got scared. Boy, that guy really scares me. Gosh, imagine me thinking you was Karloff.
I am Boris Karloff.
Jerry, how can you fail to recognize Boris Karloff?
Gosh, Mr. Karloff, I've seen all those movies you make, and you always look so weird and horrible. Your face is so frightening. You look like a regular monster.
Now, wait a minute, Jerry. It's the makeup that makes me look like a monster.
Oh, I see.
Now, tell me, what's your excuse?
Hey, that was pretty good, Boris. I mean, you're supposed to be a dramatic actor. Dean, we couldn't get Peter Lorre.
Now, Jay, that's no way to talk to a fine actor like Mr. Karloff.
Oh, I was only fooling, Dean. I'm Mr. Karloff, honestly. I've seen all those pictures where you play ghouls and werewolves and things. In fact, maybe you could tell me something.
Oh, I'd be delighted.
Is it true that once a year you have to renew your haunting license?
Well,
I mean, do you really spook only when you're spooking to?
Oh, stop it, Chair. In real life, Mr. Karloff is just as normal as you.
Here now, I won't have you insulting our guest.
Boris, I really should apologize for Jerry. He can be real nice when he wants to. He just has to be pushed.
Well, if he has to be pushed, I suggest it be from the highest possible altitude. Yes.
Now, you see how angry you made our guest, Jerry. Don't forget Mr. Karloff played Frankenstein.
What's so wonderful about that? I played Frankenstein, too.
You played Frankenstein, the monster?
No, Frankenstein the butcher. He got the cards full of chicken fat.
Jerry.
Dean, how long must I stand here and be heckled by this animated skeleton?
Boris, you just can't insult Jerry. I don't think he knows what a skeleton is.
I do so, too. A skeleton is nothing but a pack of bones with the people scraped off.
See what I mean? Do you see what I mean, boy?
Well, it's all in fun. Now, if the truth is known, I've admired you for a long time. Do you know, I saw your latest picture, Sailor Beware, and laughed some fella's head off.
Have you seen all our pictures, Mr. Karloff?
Yes, indeed. And ever since I saw That's My Boy, I've had a secret desire to play your father in a motion picture.
Hey, that sounds intriguing. Boris Karloff playing the father in one of our pictures. Let's find out, Jimmy.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are proud to present Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Boris Karloff in that homespun story of the supernatural entitled... Just Plain Dracula. Our scene is the typical suburban dungeon of an average family of werewolves. As we look in on this quaint little home, Frank, the oldest son, is just returning from school.
Well, here I am. Might as well go in. Anybody home?
Hello, Frank. I'm glad you're home. Just go into the kitchen. I think your mother left you some cold meat.
That's nice. Anybody I know?
You're beginning to sound just like your brother, Herbie.
Ah, gee, Dad. What are we going to do about Herbie? I don't think he likes being a werewolf.
No. I'm afraid he's the white sheep of the family.
Shh. Here comes Herbie now. He seems excited.
Baseball, and you'll never guess what happened.
Well, tell me.
Well, the game was all tied up. It was the last inning. We had two men on, and it was my turn at bat. The pitcher threw the ball, and just as I swung my bat...
The game was called?
No, the bat flew away.
Well, that's just too bad.
You know something, Dad? I feel different from the other little boys.
I knew it all the time, Dad. He's just ashamed of his family.
You have too much time to think, Herbie. Now, what you need is a job. Perhaps you should work with your uncles down at the bank.
But I don't like to handle money.
Who mentioned money? I mean the blood bank.
I don't want to work there. And another thing, I'm getting pretty sick of taking children to school every day.
But all the big boys take children to school every day.
In a lunchbox?
No.
Herbie, you must learn to be proud of your people. I'm a werewolf, and I love it. In the dead of night, I love to prowl around gravestones. I like to beat and strangle. You see, my son, I revel in blood and death. And broken bones.
Gee, Dad, you're cute.
Herbie, you must learn to accept things like your brother Frank. He's happy as he is. And look how all the girls go for him.
That's right. You'd be surprised how many girls lose their heads over me.
Herbie! It's no wonder... Herbie! Herbie, it's no wonder you're a lousy werewolf. You're a sissy.
I am not a sissy. Just for that, I'm going over to my girlfriend's father, and I'm going to ask for her hand.
Anybody can ask for a girl's hand.
Clear up to the elbow.
No use talking to him, Dad. I'm going to turn on the radio.
Good idea, Frank. It's time for John's other ghoul. You hear that, my son?
Gee, Dad. They're playing our tune.
Why, son, you do care.
Well! Welcome back to the werewolves, Herbie. Let's sing our anthem.
All right, boys, sound your A.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Go! Spooking and haunting, we're on the run. Though we're not human, we still have fun.
I am a werewolf 12 feet tall.
I never walk when I can crawl.
And I am the biggest creep of all.
Cause we are a trio of ghouls.
I feel so spooky.
Cause we are a trio of ghouls.
The mask is off in cigarette advertising. Chesterfield is first to name all its ingredients because you should know what gives you the best possible smoke. Chesterfield uses the right combination of the world's best tobaccos, pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities. And Chesterfields are kept tasty and fresh by pure, costly moistening agents, entirely safe for use in the mouth, as proved by over 40 years of continuous use in tobacco products. And remember, your Chesterfields are wrapped in cigarette paper of the highest purity, the best money can buy. That's what Chesterfields are made of. The world's best tobaccos, pure costly moistening agents, the best cigarette paper money can buy. Nothing else. Only Chesterfield names its ingredients, and they give you the best possible smoke. Much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste. Ask your dealer for Chesterfields today.
Some weeks ago, we were winding up our theater date in Minneapolis, and we decided to have a little blowout after the last show. Well, all the kids were there, and after the remains of a dozen steak sandwiches were cleared away, we sat down for a gab fest, a few stories, and a little close harmony singing. Long about 2 a.m., I finally latched on to one of the prettiest Western songs ever written. So, Richard, let's relive a little, huh?
Empty saddles in the old corral. Where do you ride tonight? Are you rounding up the dogies, the strays of long ago? Are you on the trail of buffalo? Empty saddles in the old corral. Where do you ride tonight? Are there rustlers on the border, or a band of Navajo? Are you heading for the Alamo? Empty guns covered with rust. Where do you talk tonight? Empty boots covered with dust. Where do you walk tonight? saddled in the old corral. My tears will be dry tonight if you'll only say I'm lonely as you carry my old pal. Empty saddles in the old corral. If you'll only say I'm lonely as you carry my old pal, empty saddle in the old
Dean. Boy, I love everything about the West. I'll never forget the last time I was on a horse. It was wonderful. They couldn't get me off.
The horse caught your fancy?
No, the stirrup caught my foot.
Oh.
Excuse me, boys, but I just like to bid you both good night.
Well, Boris, I trust you enjoyed your visit.
I certainly did. I found your partner quite engaging. Something's been troubling me for years, but after what I learned by watching Jerry tonight, I'm completely relieved.
Hey, that's wonderful, Mr. Karloff. Tell us, what did you learn by watching me tonight?
I am not the most gruesome man alive.
Boris, I agree with you. Seriously, we really enjoyed having you with us on our show.
Yes, we did. And all kidding on the other side, Mr. Karloff. You've been a swell guest, and I hope you'll come back again real soon.
Thank you, boys, and good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, Mr. Karloff. And ladies and gentlemen, we've been asked to give you a message of utmost importance. The American Cancer Society is now in the midst of its 1952 Cancer Crusade, and funds are urgently needed to help the ACS carry on its vital programs of research, education, and service to the cancer patient. Strike back against cancer by giving generously to your unit of the American Cancer Society. Mail your contribution today to Cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R, in care of your local post office. Our listeners have been so wonderful in their response to our pleas for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we hope you will give ACS the same wonderful consideration. So please, mail those contributions to Cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R, in care of your local post office.
So until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis reminding you that our current picture, Sailor Beware, may now be seen at your local theaters. Until we see you, good night, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Hollywood, you have just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, written by Ed Simmons and Norman Lear, produced and directed by Dick Mack, with music under the direction of Dick Stabile, and brought to you by Anison for pains of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor, by Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too, and by Chesterfield, the only cigarette that names all its ingredients. Sound off for Chesterfield, the cigarette that's much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste, and most important, no unpleasant aftertaste.
Transcribed. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.